left off on Friday discussing the Machlekes Rabbi Natam and others about whether the Isur Malachan Chalamoyed is an Isur Derais or an Isur Derabanan. So Rabbi Natam was the big believer that it's only an Isur Derabanan. So we had a couple of Gemaras that supported Rabbi Natam, a couple of Gemaras which were questionable for Rabbi Natam. But the Ramayis Rabbi Natam's basic shita was that the whole Isur Hakal Mikal Kol was only Midirabanan and Chalamoyed. We haven't yet seen the Rishonim disagree with Rabbi Natam. Hopefully, as the course of today's Shia will go on, we'll see who are the Bali Plukta of Rabbi Natam. But Lamais, the Machlekes Rishonim does exist. So there is one Gemara that we didn't have a chance yet to talk about. That's the Gemara at the end of the first Brach of Maseches Avodah Zarah that really has to be understood in light of this Machlekes Rabbi Natam and the other Rishonim. So the Gemara tells us that if a person owns a field, so he has to be careful. He shouldn't rent out his field to an individual who's not careful about Malach and Chalamoy. So the Gemara singles out such an individual as a kusi. Kusim are a complicated halachic concept. A group of people who join Klal Yisrael to the end of Bayis Rishon. It's not clear. Did they convert? Did they not convert? Was the Gevurah good? Not good. A whole balagan and many, many places in Shas about the status of kusim. We're assuming, at least for now, at least the Bismana Mishnah, that the kusim may very well still have the status of being Jews. Bismana Zeh, we assume that they're considered to be goyim gemurim. So there are some kusim around Bismana Zeh, a couple of hundred of them still floating around the Shechem these days. So we assume that they're considered to be goyim Bismana Zeh. But in the olden days, they were still possibly considered to be Jews, and therefore they were chayav min mitzvahs. So the Gemara says you have to be careful that since these kusim didn't keep the mitzvahs always properly, so you have to be careful not to be machshel them, not to cause them to do an avera, because there's an issur d'orais of lifnei ivel ositen michshol. So one of the examples that the Gemara says you have to be careful in dealing with a kusi is that you shouldn't rent your field to a kusi. Why? Because if you rent your field to the kusi and he's going to work on the field, so the kusim Shabbos and Yom Tov they kept, but Chol HaMoed they weren't so careful about. So you're in effect being machshelim, you're enabling him to work to do a malacha ha'asura on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says that's the din that lo yasku adam sadeo lekusi b'pnei she'ovid baba moed, because he's not careful, he's going to be negligent, and therefore it's going to be your problem in terms of an isur of lifnei ivel ositen michshol. So Tosfos comments on that idea that the Gemara applies the klal of lifnei ivel ositen michshol to malachas Chol HaMoed. Says Tosfos, you see an interesting thing, an interesting idea, that even though according to Rabbeinu Tam, malachas Chol HaMoed is only also midrabanan, and one could have assumed that the isur of lifnei ivel only applies to isurim d'oraisa, doesn't apply to isurim d'rabanan. It's not true, Zok Tosfos. Says Tosfos, and Tosfos can, from the fact that Tosfos felt the necessity to say this, you see that Tosfos felt this was a big chiddush. This is really an eye-opener, says Tosfos, that even though we would have been able to present the case that lifnei ivel is only by d'oraisas, like the examples, all the Gemara's examples of lifnei ivel, the classic examples of lifnei ivel, the Gemara says, say a person gives a cup of wine to a Nazir, that's lifnei ivel ositen michshol, or a person hands an Eva Menachai to a non-Jew, that's lifnei ivel ositen michshol. So the classic lifnei ivel is on d'oraisas. So I would have thought that maybe lifnei ivel doesn't apply to isurim d'rabbanan, because after all, says Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, malachas Chol HaMoed is on a midrabanan. And af al pi chein, the Gemara applies the principle of lifnei ivel. So Zetman Fanda, you see from here clearly, says Tosfos, the lifnei ivel is not limited to the arayis, says lifnei ivel applies to the rabbanans also. Just put all the pieces of the puzzle together. The Gemara applies lifnei ivel to malachas Chol HaMoed. Rabbeinu Tam holds malachas Chol HaMoed is on a midrabanan. So you see, 2 plus 2 is 4. You see clearly that lifnei ivel applies to the rabbanans. Ad kan divrei Tosfos. So the Ritva in the beginning of Maseches Ma'akot and Daf Beis is bothered with the same question. The Ritva says, hey, how come the Gemara applies lifnei ivel to malachas Chol HaMoed? So whereas Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos concluded, you see from here that lifnei ivel applies to derabbanans. The Ritva says, no, it's not true. Lifnei ivel doesn't apply to derabbanans. There's no machir in Shas that there's a problem lifnei ivel to be machshel someone on a nisa derabbanan. Lifnei ivel is taka only by derayisas. There's the pshuto in the Gemara. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, l'yaski radam sadeh l'kusi, Meshavid Baba Moed, says the Ritva, you see from here Rabbeinu Tam's not right. You see a Raya Brush and a La Chuva, Tam Malachas Chol HaMoed is taken as a Diaraisa. Because Lu Yitzur, Rabbeinu Tam was right, there wouldn't have been a problem with lifnei ivel. So both Tosfos in Ma'akotam, Tosfos in Chagiga, and Tosfos in, sorry, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, there are three Tosfos. There's a Tosfos in Ma'akotam, Tosfos in Chagiga, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. So this Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and the Ritva in Maseches Ma'akotam, both are addressing the same Gemara. They're both analyzing the same sugya, the same Gemara in Avodah Zarah. They're looking at which says that you're not allowed to rent out a field to a kusi because of lifnei ivel. So the conclusion that Tosfos drew was that Rabbeinu Tam is taka right. that Melechus Chol Moed is Derabana, and the conclusion we have to draw from that Gemara is that it's Taka, there is a problem with Neiva and Derabana. Whereas the Ritva drew the exact opposite, 180 degree opposite conclusion. The Ritva says no, that since it's a Dover Poshet that there is no with Neiva and Derabana, HaKorchach, the only conclusion we can draw from the Gemara is that Melechus Chol Moed is an Isidir Haisa. So now this machloikas between Rabbi Netam and the other Rishonim about Melechus Chol Moed, Deraisa, Derabanan, has just snowballed into another machloikas. Another fundamental machloikas that's neveya from the first machloikas. It's a lifnei v'dika machloikas. Let me do it Melechus Chol Moed. We finish Makor. We're done with Chol Moed for now. Not for really, just for the next 5 minutes. So this machloikas of Rishonim has now created for us another machloikas within the klal of lifnei v'dika. This is a shayla mais. This is a real serious shayla. Is the lifnei iver on Isurim Derabanan or not? If you hope there's no lifnei iver on Isurim Derabanan, that's great. That's wonderful. That would be a gaval kakula. So what's the din, Taka? What should that locha be? Is Taisus right that there is lifnei iver on Derabanan, so is the Ritva right? So the Minchas Chinuch has a stark taina against this Ritva. The Minchas Chinuch says, I don't understand this Ritva. If you would hold that lifnei iver, the nature of lifnei iver means that I'm only not allowed to be machsho someone in an aveira, in an iser, that's the nature of lifnei iver. So then you can begin to understand and say that maybe you can argue that on a level of the araisa, this is a maisa muteras. This is not considered to be an aveira. Mid the araisa, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. So maybe you can argue that's not called the lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. So you can kvetch the machlokes toisus holds one way, which follows another way, fine. That's not a problem. It says in Minchas Chinuch, what's the din if a person comes to me for an eitzah, comes for advice, and I give him lousy advice, intentionally give him really bad advice, because I want to make a quick buck off of him. So that's an issid yarais of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol also. The Gemara's beferish, the lifnei iver lo sitei michshol doesn't only mean not to be machshol someone b'dvar aveira. Lifnei iver lo sitei michshol means not to cause any stumbling block. Even an eitzah she'ena hagenis is an issid yarais of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. There's a shayla in the Acharonim. Let's say a person mamish digs a hole in the ground and somebody falls in. Is that also lifnei iver lo sitei michshol? So some Acharonim say yes. Some Acharonim say that Meshech Chachma writes like that. He writes that if a person leaves a banana peel on the floor and somebody trips on it, that's lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. That ein mikra yotzim de pshuta. All these drushes that Chazal say that lifnei iver lo sitei michshol means you're not allowed to give an eitzah shein hagenis, you're not allowed to be machshol b'aveira. Those are additional pshatim in the chumash. But of course the ikar pasuk is there. If a blind person's walking, a guy takes something and the guy trips on it, so of course that's lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. If Adam, I dig a hole in the ground, somebody falls in, of course that's lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. There's no suffix about that. So the Meshech Chochma was convinced there was no suffix about that, but the Mishnah Melech didn't hold that way. The Mishnah Melech in Perek Beis Luchas Ratzeach assumes that no, that I dig a hole in the ground, somebody falls in, that's an issed derabanan. That's I'm chayav to pay, I'll bor, but I didn't do anything. There was no issed derais involved. Makalkul v'shus harab, the Mishnah Melech assumes there's only an issed derabanan. That's a technical shaila about lifnei iver. But everybody agrees that Eitzah she'ena hagenis is an issed deraisa. So if Eitzah she'ena hagenis is an issed deraisa, says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand. What's the Ritva talking about? That to be machshel a guy in nisa derabanan is not called lifnei iver. What do you mean? Why is that any better? Why isn't that as much of a problem as an eitzah she'ena hagenis? Madach, I give a guy bad advice, I'm causing a guy a tzaras, I'm causing a guy something which is negative, which has negative consequences for him. So that's a nisa derais of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. So why should being machshel him in a nisa derabanan be any better than that? So zachal mamish pelagodol on the ritva. What's the ritva talking about? L'chor Tosfos is right. That the Yisr of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol clearly applies to Yisurim Derais as well as to Yisurim Derabanan. Tachat tzorach yin gadol on the Ritva. L'chora, I think the only way to possibly defend the Shittas HaRitva is based on as follows. That when the Gemara says lo yaskir adam sadeyu lekusiv neisha ovid b'mamoyed, which was the source for the Ritva Zahar, that the Ritva says it can't possibly be assuming that Melechus Chol Moed is Derabanan, because that wouldn't be a problem of lifnei iver. It must be that Melechus Chol Moed is Deraisa. So what does that mean, that Bnei Shekusi Obe B'Moyed, that the Kusi is going to be working Chol Moed? Is the Kusi a Shogi or is the Kusi amazing? The Kusi knows the halachas of Chol Moed, or he's a Shogi, he doesn't know anything. He's been a Kusi for the last 500 years. They haven't been keeping Chol Moed for thousands of years already. So the Pashas, the Devarim is that the Kusim already began the Shogi again. Like the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ma'amrim, the Rambam writes that the only time that, let's say, you have a group of people who break off from the Mesorah, like the like the Apikorsim, the Baisheni, the Tzdukim, the Baisusim, the Rambam writes, that only the first generation that breaks away, they're considered to be Mezidin. The subsequent generations are Dinim Kishagigim. That's the famous Rambam. The Rambam invokes the principle of Tinuk Shenishba. Tinuk Shenishba, as in the Gemara, appears Pshutu Kimashmo. That means a little baby was captured and kidnapped by Goyim and raised as a Goy. That's the Tinuk Shenishba that appears in the seventh Berakh of Masechah Shabbos. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim extends that idea and says you can have an individual as a Tinuk Shenishba, even though he's not physically Nishba, but he was raised in a non-frum atmosphere, that's also considered to be a Gedr, Tinuk Shenishba. That's the phrase that we always quote. When we always quote today that non-frum Jews are considered to be Tinuk Shenishba, we're not quoting the Gemara's Tinuk Shenishba, we're quoting the Rambam's extension of Tinuk Shenishba. So Lechara, the same is true when it comes to a Kusi. The Kusim that the Gemara is talking about are not Mezidim. They don't know anything, these Kusim. They're all Begedr Shagigim. So Lechora, why is that called Lifna Iver? Because Afa Bichain, even though he's Shogeg, I'm still not allowed to be Ma'akshal a person in Aver. Let's say the Marshal, I give a person a piece of treifa food, and he doesn't realize that he's eating treifas. Let's say just for Marshal, just for argument's sake, I give a person a treifa chicken. He doesn't know that it's treif. He bought it at a reputable store, so he thought that it was a kosher chicken, the Marshal. So I'm the only one who knows that the chicken is not exactly up to par. So I hand him the chicken, and he eats the chicken. So of course that's Lifna Iver, Losite Michshal. Avadai violated Losit, besides Ganei. Besides everything else, I also, of course, I violate the evil of the Mishal. I use a shaygeg. Doesn't matter, but an aver b'shaygeg is also considered to be an aver. So I caused that. I was machshel him. So I caused the guy to do a terrible thing. He's not going to be punished. Maybe in Shemayim, him and the Rabban Shalom, they'll figure out what to do. But in terms of my aver, Vada, I violated the yisadir aisa of lifnei velosite mechshal. So when we say that I'm not allowed to rent out the field to the kusi, even if the kusi is only a shaygeg, that would still be a violation of lifnei velosite mechshal. So maybe it's that nekuda that the Ritva is picking up on. The Ritva is saying is that b'med devam amurim that lifnei velosite mechshal applies even if the oiver ha'avera is b'shaygeg. That's taka only by yisurim deraisa and not by yisurim derabbanan. That let's say I take bishalach from Marshall, not an issa deraisa. I take an egg that was by a guy and I hand it to somebody and the person unknowingly eats it. So am I in violation of lifnei velosite mechshal? So that the Ritva would say no. Ritva would argue that if the oivah ha'aveira is only b'shoigeg and it's only an issa d'rabbanon, so that wouldn't be a violation of lifnei velosite mechshal. So the Ritva never meant to say that if a machshal somebody in the oivah ha'aveira is mamish b'meizid, if I'm the one who enables him to do an aveira b'meizid, if it's a d'rabbanon, that's not lifnei ever. How can he say such a thing? If I cause a guy any mechshal, if I assist a guy in doing anything that's wrong, of course that's an issa of lifnei velosite mechshal. It's no worse than eitz hashen haganas. All the Ritva meant to say was is that if the oivah ha'aveira is b'shoigeg anyway, and it's a derabbanan and b'shoigeg, that's not called lifnei velosite mechshal. And why should that be? Mehechateis, that should be so. By the araisas, that's not the case. By the araisas, if I give you a chicken and you don't know that it's treif, I'm over lifnei, but that's pashut. So why should Yisroel derabbanan be any different? So the chara, the answer is based on the famous vart of the Nesivas. The Nesivas has a chiddush in Chayshim Mishpat, where the Nesivas writes that normally if a person does an avera b'shoigeg, they have to do tshuva for the avera, but that's not true for an avera d'rabbanan. Let's say by mistake I ate b'shalacham. I didn't realize it was b'shalacham. I goofed, so I wasn't paying attention, and I ate b'shalacham b'shoigeg, so I don't have to clap al-chayt. And the Sefer says, there's no mitzvah, not mechuyev, to do tshuva for eating b'shalacham b'shoigeg. The Chiddush of the Nesivas, he claims it based on a Lashon HaRambam, that there's such a chiluk, that only the araisas b'shoigeg require tshuva, whereas the rabbanan's b'shoigeg don't require tshuva. Why is that? What's the Yisera Dover of that? So the Meshech Chochma, the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, explains that it's based on the following. That's something that we mentioned a little bit on Friday. We mentioned on Friday in a different context that the Rambam holds that all Yisurim Derabbanan are included in Lo Sosa, right? We spoke about this a little bit, Rabbi Hanan, that the Rambam writes that all Yisurim Derabbanan are considered to be violations of Lo Sosa. So the Ramban asks 25 questions against the Rambam, but the basic question is one question. It's just a lot of different details, but he has one basic attack against the Rambam. The attack is that the Ramban in his Hakdamah to Sefer Mitzvahs in Cherish Beis, so the Ramban writes, it can't be that the Rambam is right. Because if the Rambam is right, that Isurim Derabbanan are considered to be included in Los Sosor, how could we have differences in halacha between Safek Deraisa L'chumra and Safek Derabbanan L'kula? How come when you have a Shalav Deraisa, you have to be Machmir? When you have a Shalav Derabbanan, you have a right to be Mekel. How could there be such a chiluk? If every derabbanan is a deraisa, so it's mamish the same thing. It's the same tokef in halacha. So what's the answer to this question? So the Meshech Chochma explains that the answer to the question is as follows, that the Rambam holds that true Isurim Derabbanan are considered to be Begedel Lo Sosor, but they're very, very different fundamentally from Isurim D'Araisa. Isurim D'Araisa, we call in Halacha, we call Isurei Chefza. We say that there's something intrinsically wrong with the Chefetz. A person eats chazer, a person eats nevelos or treifes, so there's something intrinsically wrong with spiritual poison with the object that the person is eating. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with an egg cooked by a non-Jew. The nature of Yisurim Derabbanan is such that the Torah wants to uphold the authority of the Chachmei HaTorah. The Torah wants that the Chachmei HaTorah should decide what to do, and we should listen to them. We should be kafuf to them. Says the Meshech Chochma, Moshal Ma'adav Adoyma, there's a din that you have to listen to the Melech. So let's say a Melech decides, he gets up and he says, I don't want anyone to eat Cheerios. So that means that Cheerios are now instilled with poisonous qualities, that Cheerios are spiritually detrimental to your health. That's a joke. Says the Meshech Chochma, what's pshat? The pshat is that as a gavra, you're mechuyif to listen to the Melech. You don't listen to Melech, you attack a murder Malachos, and you have a very, very serious Aveira. But the nature of the Aveira of eating the Cheerios is not the same as eating the Chazir. When you eat the Chazir, there's something intrinsically wrong with the Chazir. When you eat the Cheerios, so the nature of the Isser is not the Achilas HaCheerios. The nature of the Isser is the not listening to the Melech. So the Meshech Chochma says that's mamash the same Moshav Bechachmei HaTorah. That when the Chachamim make a Takonah, the Chachamim make an Isser, so the Chachamim don't instill the Dover HaAsr, the Chefetz Shel, which was otherwise a Chefetz Shel Heter, with any Isser properties. They don't have the Koyach to do it. The Chachamim can't change the world. They can't change the Teva. All the Chachamim can do is that they say, we want you to listen to us. And the Torah wants us to listen to the Chachmei HaTorah. But the nature of the Isser is that you shouldn't rebel against the authority of the Chachamim. It's not so much a function of the Dover HaAsr itself. So therefore the Meshech Chochma says we understand exactly why Safik Deraisa L'chumer, why Safik Derabanan L'kula. When you're dealing with poison, let's say LaMarshal, you have a bottle of in your medicine chest and you don't remember, is this a bottle of water or is this a bottle of cyanide or something, whatever. You're not sure, you can't remember. So would you say, well, it's only 50-50 chance, so we'll take it. It's ridiculous. Of course you can't drink something that's Suffolk poison. So chaz, you have a piece of meat in front of you, you can't tell, is it chaz or is it not? You have a chicken in front of you, you can't tell, is it Empire or is it Purdue? I'm not sure. So you can't take a chance and eat it. Well, you're crazy. It's a 50-50 chance you may be dying. 50-50 chance you may ingest some spiritual poison. You're not allowed to do that. But when you're dealing with an Issa Derabbanan, so the whole nature of the Issa Derabbanan is to be married by the Chachmei HaTorah. So a married by Chachmei HaTorah means, I know it's Asur, this egg sitting in front of me, it's Bishul Acham, I know it's Bishul Acham, and I'm going to eat it anyway because I want to eat it, I don't care what the Chacham have to say. That's called the married by Divrei Chacham. That's called the violation of Los Asur. If I have an egg in front of me, and the reason why I'm eating it is because, listen Rabbi, I love the Rabbanim, but I'm willing to risk it, I don't think the Rabbis Asur this. Because it's only 50-50 chance anyway, so I'm not violating what the Chachamim say. If I would know that the Chachamim asked this egg, Avada wouldn't eat this egg. So that's why Safek Derabbanan L'kula, in contrast to Safek Deraisa L'chumra, even though Isurim Derabbanan or Isurim Deraisa, means when you have Avada, you said Derabbanan in front of you, so to do it is a violation of Los Sosa. But since the nature of the Yisr is not B'Toyres Isichevtsu, but rather B'Toyres Itzagavra, B'Toyres Merit, B'Chachmei HaTorah. So that's what is the distinction of Allah between Safek L'Derais L'Chumr, Safek L'Derabbanan L'Kula. So says the Meshech Chochma, that's the exact same reason why the Nesivus claims that there's no tshuva necessary for an Issa Derabbanan that's violated B'Shoigeg. Because why is there tshuva B'Chlal for an Issa B'Shoigeg? It's not my fault. What do I have to do tshuva for? So the answer is that that chait makes an imprint on a person. So a person does an aveira, so it doesn't just disappear. You know, I ate treifas. No big spritz. No big deal. That not only did you violate the Ratzon Hashem, but it makes a mark on your neshama, and that mark's going to remain the liolam vod unless you do something about it. So the only thing you can do about that is you have to be chayzer b'tshuva. So even if I ate the treifas b'shoigeg, because I think I ate poison. I ate poison. I didn't mean to eat poison. As the, you're in the emergency room, they're pumping out your stomach. So you turn around to the doctor and say, no, you don't have to pump my stomach out because I didn't mean to eat the poison. I thought it was kosher. So they'll send the guy to the psychiatric ward. It means, obviously, your poison went in. Enough gemina what your kavana was. So if the poison went into your system, the poison went into your neshama, it's there to stay. There's only one way to get rid of it. You got to be chayzer b'tshuva. Once the chait goes in, so it makes its mark, it's daily olam vod. At a gevaldike divrei musar a couple of days ago, most of you know I've been a little bit under the weather, so I had some strange virus, Baruch Hashem, that's finally hopefully on the way out. So they had a lot of blood tests done last week to try to figure out Baruch Hashem, they finally found what it was. So in the process of doing all the blood tests, so they're able to tell you, it's mamash an amazing thing, they're able to tell you all the viruses that you had in the last 40 years. That means they tell you that, well, at one time you had this virus, and one time you had that virus, and one time you had that virus, because apparently the way the body works, I'm not such a maker in this, the way the body works is once you get a virus, then the body builds up with the antibodies and whatever it is, and now you can always test if you do the right test. Most people don't bother doing these tests all the time, but when they have to test anyway, so they're able to start to tell you, well, it's not this virus because you had this virus 20 years ago. It's not this virus because you had this virus 35 years ago. Mama Shemari did good things. So I was talking to one of the doctors about this. So he said, we're from fellow, so he says to me, says, this is an unbelievable Musar Haskel. He says that you see that anything that happens to you, it goes, once it's in the system, it's there. You could be 120 years old, and if you had a virus and you were 3 days old, it's there. It made its mark. Once it's there, the roshim is there. So he said, mamash like an aveira. He said, once you do an aveira, it's there, it sticks to you. There's only one big difference between the two. That a virus, you can't be chayzi b'tshuva on the virus. Once it's there, it's mamash there, but if you don't chayzi b'tshuva, then it's the same with the virus. But now you understand the godless of tshuva. The tshuva gives you the ability to overcome, to mamash remove something, even though minas adin is nice, and that it should have remained, it should have left its mark. Anyway, just a side point. What are we talking about? Oh yeah, something about Lakula. I forgot. What are we learning now? What are we learning? Chol Moed, right? Moed Cut. Forgot. Okay. Sukkot, what are we learning? I forgot what we learned this summer. That was last summer. Okay. Doesn't matter. It's like Rabbi Shechter said, it doesn't matter what the yeshiva is learning. Shabbos, but Metziah Chul, and he says, he has 100 shirim ready. He just, you know, just tell me. Yeah, getting back to that story. So we can understand the Nesivus makes a lot of sense that Yisurim D'Rabbanon B'Shoagid is Takanoni to do tshuva by Yisurim D'Araisa. So you did the Aveira, so the Aveira made a hashpa on you. You got to get rid of it. You have to be Chayzi B'Tshuva. But in Yisurim D'Rabbanon didn't make any hashpa. You didn't do anything wrong. The whole nature of the Yisur was be married B'Chach Me'atar. You can't be married B'Shoagid. It's only a merit if I know what I'm doing. It's a merit. You can't have a revolution. You can't revolt if you're not sure what you're revolting against. So you can't have a revolution B'Shoagid. A revolution b'sofik is not a revolution, and a revolution b'shogig is not a revolution. So that's why there were differences between their rishis and their rabbanon. So l'chayra, that's what the ritva is driving at. L'chayra, there's no other way to be mevar this ritva. That the ritva says in my kontaf beis that there's no l'fneiver on their rabbanon. It's finished. And therefore, the sugya in the end of the first pechah of Avodah that says that lo yaskir adam sedel l'kusu b'neish ovid b'bemayed is a raya brew against Rabbeinu Tam, is a raya brew that Malachas Chalamayit is deraisa, because lo yitzu that Malachas Chalamayit would have only been derabanan, so it wouldn't have been true. There wouldn't have been a problem of lifna iver. So, yeah, what do you mean there's no lifna iver in derabanan? It doesn't make any sense. So he says, no, l'chor the vart, l'chor the beer in the ritva is like this, that in Ochinami, if the Kusi is Taka amazed, he's Taka Balavera, and I enable him to do the Avera b'mezid, of course there's Lefnei Ver and the Rabbanans. Why should the Rabbanans be different than their eyes? I'm causing him to do something bad. Why should that be any different than Eitzah She'ena Haganes? But the particular Lefnei Ver that the Gemara is talking about at the end of the first parable of the Zohar, the Kusi is a Shoyeg. L'chayri doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't even realize he's not allowed to do Malach Chalamayit. He never came to the BMP call. He doesn't know there's the thing called Chalamayit. So he thinks that everything's mutter and chalamayit, so he doesn't realize he's not allowed to be working his field. So that's only an aver b'shoyeg. So that's what the Ritva says. Lo yitzir Rabbeinu would have been right. The malachas chalamayit would have only been derabbanan, so it wouldn't have been a problem. So then that would have been okay. I'm allowed to be machshel of person in effect on this at derabbanan b'shoyeg because it's not called the ma'is aver. It's mamish nothing. There's nothing wrong with the pechlal. So therefore, zok the Ritva, the only way to understand that gemara at the end of the first pechlal of Edizara is only based on the assumption that Rabbeinu Tam is not correct. The taka malachas chalamoid is taka diaraisa. If it's diaraisa, then it's spiritual poison. A guy works in chalamoid, it's like working on Shabbos and Yontif. It's a disaster. It's mashpi and in a shama, makes its mark, li'olam void. So that's not a lifna either. So then taka have to be careful. So a kopanim, we have a gemara at the end of the first pechav of Avodah Zarah that does apply the cloud lifna either to malachas chalamoid. That's a devar pashut. Everybody agrees that there's a problem with lifna either on malachas chalamoid. So I'm not allowed to cause another Jew to do an Isser of Malach and Chalamoy. No question about that. The question is, why is that so? So Rabbeinu Tam and the Balei Taisa say that even though Malach and Chalamoy is Dirabanan, there's still a problem with Ne'ivra and Dirabanan, and we can extrapolate other examples as well. And according to the Ritva, it's not true. According to the Ritva, that no, Liyitzu would be a real Dirabanan, Taka wouldn't be a problem. It's only because it's a Diraisa. is parenthetically, how do we pass it in this shayla? This machlokes toisus in the Ritval. Forget about chalamoy for a second. What about regular derabbanans? Is there lifnei ivra and derabbanans? The Mishnah Berurah paskins l'chumra. The famous Mishnah Berurah in Uchas Brachas, where the Mishnah Berurah writes that you're not allowed to give food to a person who's not going to make a bracha. So the yisur of eating without a bracha is only nisad derabbanan. Those are going to be in the Shia. Ketzim avracha coming up soon. So that's only the whole brich zanen is only with derabbanan. So the Mishnah Berurah still says you're not allowed to give food to somebody who's going to eat without making a bracha, even though it's only derabbanan. Even though presumably the guy's a shegi, he doesn't ever heard of Uchas Brachas. The Mishnah Berurah said still considered to be a problem. It could be that we don't always follow that Mishnah Berurah for technical reasons. There's a famous psach from Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman said that not that the Mishnah Berurah bikaron is not right, the Mishnah Berurah in theory is right, that there should be lifnei ivra on Hilchas Brachas also, even though it's only derabbanan, but Shlomo Zalman had the following chiddush in Hilchas lifnei ivra. That in Hilchas lifnei ivra, you have to be very careful. Sometimes you have a very, very limited vision of what's going on. A person has a very limited scope of what he's looking at. So he'll look at this particular thing. So here the person walks into my house, so I'm going to be very, very firm. I'm not going to give him a piece of cake. I'm not going to offer him a cup of orange juice, because I don't want to be machshlim chalil of a chalil in the yisad derabbanan of eating without a bracha. So what's the problem? So the guy walks out of my house, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he walks out and mutters under my breath, this frum guy, these are what religious Jews are like, this guy's a bum, he doesn't even offer me a cup of orange juice on a hot day, he doesn't give me a piece of cake, the guy's mamash a menuvel. So Shlomo Zalman said, so you know what you just did? So you were Baruch Hashem, you weren't machshel him in the yisad derabbanan of eating without brachas, but you were machshel him in the yisad derais of lo siston sechicha b'vavecha, on the yisad derais of kidvar Hashem balza vesmitz paso hefar, you were mechalas Hashem, you did half a dozen other things. So you have to make a tally sheet, what's more important. So the Shlomo Zalman says, B'ikaron, the Mishnah Berurah is right. But lemaisa, you can't follow the Mishnah Berurah, because if you follow this Mishnah Berurah, so in a situation where you're going to be machshlim and other things, so that is going to be a worse violation of lifnei ivra. So you have to always be mechashiv everything and figure out, zeh keneged zeh. But b'ikaron, the Mishnah Berurah is assuming against this ritva. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be assuming, like the Balei HaTosfos, like the Minchas Chinuch, that there is lifnei ivra even on their abundance. So that was that aspect of the sugya in terms of the sugya in the end of the first breath of Avodah Zarah. There is one last nakuda in terms of the first sugya before we move on. This is all the introduction. There's an instant shayit. There's one last nakuda that we have in terms of the previous sugya. And that's as follows. According to Rabbi Tam, the Malachas Chalamoid is only Dirabanan. So the question becomes, well, what's the nature of this as a Dirabanan? Why did the Chalam make this a Dirabanan? We're not sure Rabbi Tam's right, but Allah Tzad, we still haven't moved on to the other Rishonim yet. Assuming that Rabbi Tam is correct, that Malachas Chalamoid is only Dirabanan, so what's the nature of this Takonim? What's the nature of this Issa? What's this Issa all about? So there appears to be a major Machlaikis of Rishonim within the Soivrim that Malachas Chalamoid is Dirabanan. What's the whole nature of the Issa? So Taisus and Avodah Zarah, and that same Taisus, the end of the first parak, writes a Lashon that the Issa Malachas Chalamoid is a Gezerah Atu Yontif. That means on Yontif, of course, there's a real Malachas Dirabanan. So if you ask people, even if Malachas Chalamoid is under the Rabbanan, doesn't mean that the concept of Chalamoid is the Rabbanan. Everybody agrees there's a concept of Chalamoid with the Raisa. Haraya, the mitzvah Sayyom Masul Nogos. On Pesach, the guy eats Chametz and Chalamoid, it's the same mitzvah the Raisa as eating Chametz by the Seder. On Sukkah, the guy eats out of the Sukkah and Chalamoid, it's the same bitl mitzvah the Raisa as eating out of the Sukkah on Yontif. So, of course, the mitzvah Sayyom and Nogos, they bring Kabbanas in the base of Mikdosh. We'll talk a little bit later about the mitzvah Simchas Yontif Pashas is Noag mid the Raisa and Chalamoid, the same as on the first days of Yontif. So there are many, many similarities between Cholamayr and Yontif Deraisa, even on the level of Deraisa. There's no question about that. The whole machlokes is, what about the Isurim, in terms of the prohibitions of Malacha? Are the Isurim Malacha Deraisa Derabanan? So Taisa says, Beloshim B'nei Adam, Cholamayr and Yontif looks very similar to one another. So if a person is going to start to do Malacha on Cholamayr, next thing they can do Malacha on Yontif itself. That's what Taisa says in Avodah Zarah. It's an interesting idea. One wouldn't have necessarily thought that way. That's how Taisa presents it. So the Rambam doesn't write this way. The Rambam Chus Yontif and Berek Zayin gives a whole different twist on the nature of the Malacha. The Rambam writes that since there's a concept of Kedushas Cholamoid even mid the Araisa, the Rambam emphasized the fact that it's called the Mikra Kodesh, and you will talk about what that means in a little bit later, hopefully, and you bring Karbanos, and the Karban Musaf is brought, and you can bring in the Olas Re'i, and the Karban Chagig, and Shalmi Simcha, and it's Mamash Yom Kodesh, it's a Yom of Mikra Kodesh, we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim in the Musaf of Cholamoid. So there is a Kedushas Yom of Cholamoid. So the Rambam writes, therefore, the Chachamim felt that when you have a day that has Kedushas Yom to it, even though it's not sufficient Kedushas Hayom to create an Issa Melacha, but Af Al Pi Chein, it's not appropriate that we should be doing regular work. It shouldn't be business as usual. We shouldn't be out in our fields. We shouldn't be just doing writing and other things, the things which were mezalzel in a sense in the Kedushas Hayom. So says the Rambam, usually the term Kedusha usually creates an Issa Melacha. Usually when you have Kedushas Man, you have an Issa Melacha, different gradations. It is so. You have Shabbos, you have Yom Kippur, you have Yom Tif. The truth is that, says the Rambam, that on the level of the Araisa, so the Kedushas Hayom, the Mikra Kodesh of Chol HaMoed, is not sufficient to create an Issa Melacha. But Af Al Pi Chein, the Chabim felt that it's a bizoyin, it's a zilzul to the Kedushas Hayom for a person to make it like a regular Yom Chol. So therefore, the Chabim instituted the various Isurim Melacha on Chol HaMoed to preserve the Kedushas Hayom, even though on the level of the Araisa, that degree of Kedushas Hayom isn't the Mechaiv of an Issa Melacha. That's a very, very different picture than Tosfos. Taisus presents it as a gezeira. It's Petera's gezeira that don't do this because you may come to do this. The Rambam gives you a different picture lagamre. The most like in Ochel Shabbos, you have very often within Isuri Shabbos, so you have different types of Isurim Dirabbanan. You have some Isurim Dirabbanan that are Petera's gezeira. That means don't do this. Because if you do this, next thing you know, it's going to lead you to do this. Let's say Lamashal. Let's say you're not allowed to take medicine under normal circumstances on Shabbos. Gezeir, if you take medicine, you may come to grind up the herbs. Or let's say Lamashal, you're not allowed to move a pencil on Shabbos. Gezeir, you may come to write with the pencil. That's the order of things. The Issa Derais is writing, and the Issa Derabbanan is you're not supposed to move the pencil. They ask most kids why you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. So 9 out of 10 kids will tell you, you're not allowed to write on Shabbos because the pencil's muktzah. So hopefully when you ask 9 out of 10 adults, they don't give you the same answer. So that's not the Issa Derais of not writing comes first, and the Issa Derabbanan of not moving it comes as a gezeira up to the writing. So you have a lot of Isurim Derabbanan like that, which are Beteris Gezeira. Don't do X because it may come to Y. Then you have other Isurim in the realm of Shabbos, which are not like that. Bechlal, it's not like don't do X because it may come to Y. Let's say Lamashal, the halach is that certain like Tircha Yaseiras or something are Asur and Shabbos. Certain Uvdu Decholz are Asur and Shabbos. So you're not supposed to do certain things on Shabbos. You're not supposed to stop walking around schlepping heavy furniture, even if there's an Erev. Why? Why? Because if you schlep heavy furniture, what's going to happen? If you schlep heavy furniture, you're going to start to ride on Shabbos. If you schlep heavy furniture, you're going to start to cook on Shabbos. What's the gezeira? What's going to lead? X is going to lead to Y. There is no X to Y. The answer is no, that the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos is a day that's mechayev you to act in a certain way. So even if it's not going to lead you to do any aveir per se, it's not going to lead you to do any. It's just the Yom Shabbos Lashem has a certain image to it. There are certain things called Uvdu Dechol. There are certain things you're not supposed to do on Shabbos, which are not necessarily going to lead you to do any malacha. Let's say the malacha. A person wants to play ball on Shabbos. So to play ball on Shabbos is not a gezeira. It's not that if you do X, if you play ball, so therefore you're going to come with a bishul. That's not what's going to happen. It's just that the playing ball goof is considered to be an uvdu dechol, is considered to be an inappropriate activity in Shabbos. It's a pagam in the kedushas of Shabbos. So the same thing here also. When it comes to Hilchos Chol HaMoed, there seems to be two fundamentally different approaches to what the nature of Issa Melacha and Chol HaMoed is, assuming that it's the Rabbanan, assuming Rabbeinu Tam is right. If you're in the Rabbeinu Tam camp, that it's an Issa Derabbanan, what's the nature of the Issa? Is it a Gezeira type of an Issa, like Tyson of Adizara presents? Don't do Melechas Chol HaMoed because you may end up doing Melechas Yom Tif. That's like, don't take medicine because you may come to grind up herbs. Don't move the pencil, you may come to write. That's a Gezeira. Or do you say no, that it's like the playing ball on Shabbos. It's like the schlepping heavy furniture on Shabbos. It's an Uvdu Dechol. So the Torah says that Chol HaMoed is a Yom Kaddosh. So even though the Torah never said it's a Yom Kaddosh Le'asa B'Malacha, but a Yom Kaddosh it is. So to preserve that sanctity, to preserve that uniqueness of the day, the Chaman felt it would be appropriate not to be doing certain types of Malachas. So you have a Lombash Machlaikis in the Rishonim, even assuming that Malachas Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan, what the very nature of that Malacha is all about. So Kopanim, up until now, we basically finished the first sugya. We try to give a little bit of time to Rabbeinu Tam and those who go be'ikvas Rabbeinu Tam. That Melechas Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan. We saw that on Friday we spent a lot of time figuring out how the details in the sugyas fit in according to Rabbeinu Tam. Then we spent a little bit of time today trying to figure out the Gemara of Avodah Zarah according to Rabbeinu Tam and the possible ramifications outside of Chol HaMoed in terms of the Iver in general by the Rabbanans. And then lastly, we pointed out that even assuming that it's the Rabbanan, there are two fundamentally different approaches. But now we have to begin the second sugya a little bit and try to give, I don't know if equal time, but at least some time to the other sheet to name it to the Cholkim and Rabbeinu Tam. So the first little Balei Plukta of Rabbeinu Tam, first Rishon we're going to address, who holds that Melechas Chol HaMoed is the Araisa, is the Rashbam. So it's interesting, the Rashbam happened to have been Rabbi Natan's brother. He was his older brother. So like, you know, most older and younger brothers, you know, fight about everything. Like my two boys, they fight about everything under the sun. But in the days of Rabbi Natan, the Rashbam, this is what the brothers fought about, when the Malach is Cholim, what is their Isa, the Rabbanon. So it must have been a very exciting Shabbos table. So what prompted the Rashbam to say that Malach is Cholim, what is their Isa? So there's a Gemara at the end of Maseches Pesachim, the 10th parak of Pesachim, the Gemara has the following comment. The Gemara comments on the Pesukim and Chumash, Elohei Masechal Osas Eloch Es Chaga Matzas Tishmor. It's Pesukim in the end of Parshas Kisisa, we learn on the Chol HaMoed. The reason why we learn on Chol HaMoed is because of this reason, because it says Elohei Masechal Osas Eloch, don't make gods of whatever metal, whatever it is, Es Chaga Matzas Tishmor, and rather you should observe the holiday of Pesach. So the Gemara says, what kind of hemshech advarim is? What kind of connection between us the Pesukim is? Between Chag HaMatzah Tishmot, Elohei Masechel HaSaslach, what's the connection between the two? So the Gemara says, the connection is as follows. Kol HaMavazah Samayadah Eskilu Ovid Avedah Zarah. The person treats the Yom Tovim not appropriately. He's Ke'ilu, he's an Ovid Avedah Zarah. So comes the Rashbam, and the Rashbam wrote his Peirush in on Arvei Pesachim. There are a few places in Shas where we don't have Rashi Bechlal, like in all of Avavasar, starting from Chesed Sabbatim. So Rashi dies, Khan makes Rashi, and then the Rashbam takes over. Then, of course, at the end of Maseches Makas, the last couple of Dav, Khan makes Rashi also. So Rashi died a few times, came back, whatever, not sure exactly why he kept on dying. But and then you have in the end of Maseches Pesachim, even though we do have a Rashi, but the Rashbam is usually used in the last break of Maseches Pesachim. It's much more inclusive than the Rashi. So the Rashbam and that Gemara is bothered with an obvious kasha. The Gemara says, "Kol kol mevaza sama others kilo ovid of a dezara." So that phrase, "Kol haosazeh kilo osazeh," that's a very famous type of a klal. We have that lashon in many, many places in Chazal. If you do this, it's ke'ili you did that. So we all know that whenever Chazal say that, they don't mean it really, really, really literally. Let's say lemashal, "Kol hakayis kilo ovid of a dezara." Anybody who gets angry is as if you're worshiping a dezara. So the Gemara really means that. It means next time you see a guy who's gets angry, so you have to take all the wine that he touched and throw it into the garbage. He's an ovid of a dezara. You have to bring him to the base of Skila and throw him off. No, that's not what it means. Kalakaiskil Avid of Erezara doesn't mean that he's Mamish Dinuk Avid of Erezara. What it means is as follows. It means that a person who's Koes has certain tchunas, has certain midos, is exhibiting certain character traits that are similar to the Avid of Erezara. And Chazal are saying to you how careful you have to be. Just as everybody realizes you have to stay so far away from Avodah Zarah, so too you better stay far, far away from Kaas, because Kaas is a main, it's a smash, it's an Abizrael of Avodah Zarah. But obviously it doesn't mean it literally. And forget, whenever Chazal use these phrases, Kola Osazeh, Kilo Osazeh, they're clearly talking about an Aveira that the Atzmuso is not so Chomer, that means Kaas. Not by Dabashem Moshalim Alot Techosu. There is no plav in the Torah befevish to get angry with pashtas. It's a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a midah wrong. We have to try as best as possible to stay away from midas rose. But if kas would have been an isid yerais and mamish b'fnei atzma or befevish or posuk in the chumash that says don't get angry, so then you wouldn't need Chazal to say kol hakoyis kilo avir avir zara. It means what do you need that for? The Torah says you're not allowed to get angry. So elam karcha from the fact that Chazal had to go out of the way and say, Kol HaKayis Kilo Avodah Zarah, Kol HaMizgah, and what is about Gaifas Kilo Avodah Zarah, it's dafka because there is no Pasuk Befeirish that says that you're not allowed to get angry. There is no Pasuk Befeirish that says you're not allowed to become a Baal Gaifa. It's bad, it's terrible, it's Mitzvah Ros, it's horrible, and the Baruch Shalom wants you to stop it. And the Rambam writes in the Chosh that a person has to be Chayzeh B'Tshuv from Mitzvah Ros, the same way he has to be Chayzeh from Maiseh Veiros. But from the mere fact that Chazal had to go ahead in a certain sense, quote unquote, exaggerate it and say, not in a derogatory way, but by saying that Kol HaKos Kilu Avid of Erezara is another way of saying that the Kaas itself is not, quote unquote, the realist of the Araisa that would have been Befeirish Bakra. So the Rashbam is bothered here also. What does it mean, Kol HaMavaza Samoy Odus? If Kol HaMavaza Samoy Odus means the guy doesn't keep Pesach. A guy does malocha on Yontif. A guy goes to work on the first day of Yontif. You don't need a Gemara to say the kol mevaza sama others kilo avir verizara. You don't need a Gemara to say that a guy does malocha on Yontif is kilo avir verizara. We know it's bad. We know it's terrible. A guy is a mevaza sama others. A guy does malocha on Yontif. He's in violation of kol mevaza avir lasaso. He's chayav malchus deraisa. So you don't need a maim chazal to say. You don't need a pasuk to teach me kol mevaza sama others kilo avir verizara. it must be that kol mevaz assembly others is not talking about malach and yontif. It can't possibly be talking about malach and yontif. So what is it talking about? So says the Rashbam, it doesn't say kol mevaz say yomim toivim. Yomtif usually means the first day of yomtif, the day, the seventh day of yomtif, days of really some malacha. Meados means the whole moed, means the whole regal, means the whole chol moed. Zokter Rashbam, kol mevaz assembly others ki loivim verizora means a guy does malach and chol moed. That makes a lot of sense. A guy does malach and chalamayin, so a person would have thought that a guy does malach and chalamayin, what's so terrible, malach and chalamayin, beshmeh, it's not so bad. So no, that's what Chazal is saying, ki'ilu oivid avedazar, this pasuk is teaching me, is that it's terrible, it's bizoyin, it's horrible, it's all smacks almost of avedazar, the guy's almost like a kaifeh be'ikar, he's almost like an oivid avedazar, the person who's mevazes amaliyadois, not the mevazes a yom tov, mevazes a yom tov, you don't need a marim chazal for that, losasim, kol mevaz asamayot, this means even malach and chalamayot, which one would have thought is somewhat of a lesser visar, kamash bulan, that's also asar. And that's what the pasuk means, as chagamatzis tishmor, chagamatzis doesn't mean the first day of yontif, chagamatzis means the whole week of yontif. Harayi matzis the whole week. You refrain from eating chametz the whole week. So the phrase is chagamatzis, we say, v'yom chagamatzis, then the alav yavah the whole week. So it's chag matzis tishmor, that means the whole week of yontif. So that's what the hemshech apsukim is. Eloi maseich alosas alach. Don't be avid of a rezara. It's chag matzis tishmor, and make sure to keep the whole yontif from beginning to end, including cholamoy properly. And if you dare go to work in cholamoy, you're kilo avid of a rezara. So comes Tosis and says, wow, that's quite a pshat. Would we say that about an issa derabanan, something which the Torah doesn't even address, something the Torah doesn't even accept, b'chlau? Would we say kila oivir of a desar? Would we apply a hekesh to? Would we say pshat and a posik? The Gemara is giving you a pshat and a posik, smichas a psukim. Why does the Torah Kedosha put these two dinim together? What's the significance of the juxtaposition of these two psukim? The purpose of this hekesh, of this smuchim, is to teach me that malechas chalamayit is mamash adiraisa. So says the Rashbam, yeah, that's top of the din, says the Balei Tosin, in the name of the Rashbam, that the fact that the Rashbam learned pshat in this Gemara is called mevazas and others ki lo'evi ve'rezara, that, as referring to chalamoyed, that min fanda, you see from here that malechas chalamoyed is ma'am shadir aisa. So he's the ma'plukta of Rabbi Natan. So this was the machlokes, the two brothers. Rabbi Natan, as we said already Friday and today, he was a big believer that malechas chalamoyed is only derabanan. Whereas the Rashbam disagrees. The Rashbam, from the fact that he learned pshat in this Gemara of Kolomavazas and others, as referring specifically to malechas chalamoyed, you see from here that malechas chalamoyed is in fact dir aisa. What would Rabbeinu Tam respond? How would Rabbeinu Tam learn pshat in this Gemara?
Should we say the opposite?
Right, but it has to be at least something that the Torah doesn't like. Kas the Torah doesn't like. It's not a famous apostle in the Chumash, but kas is also a bad thing. Whereas Malachas Chalamoy, according to Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't exist in the Raisa. There's no such thing. And to learn this is even worse than just saying, call it also Zek, Ilu also Zek, because the Gemara is calling a apostle for it. So the Rashbam is learning this pasuk is not just a stamina smachta, I'm not just a drasha. This is a real din called mevazas and all the mamash a din di araisa of kilo of
Verizar. Is it
referring
to the
necessary of? Oh, so we'll see in a second. So the Rashbam learned clearly that's referring to Balachas Chalamoy. The Rashbam said Temmali that Isa Malach B'Chalamoy. So what would the Rabbeinu Tam respond? So comes the Rambam in Uchaz Yontif, and the Rambam was on Rabbeinu Tam's team. Rambam held in Perek Zayin Uchaz Yontif. So the Rambam was bothered with this kash in effect. What did the Chazal mean? What did the Chazal mean when they say kol mevazes and others kilo over the zara? So the Rambam writes as follows: but kol mevazes and others means it doesn't mean the guy does malacha and yontif. It's not talking about chalamoid versus yontif. It's talking about the whole week of yontif. It's not talking about malacha. It's talking about treating yontif in a disrespectful way. And the Rambam writes, what are some ways of treating yontif in a disrespectful way? A guy is not mechabe the yontif properly. Doesn't have a zachilu shti on yontif properly. He doesn't dress appropriately for yontif. Those kinds of things. That's called mevaz asemoyadas. The Gemara is not even talking about malacha. Let's say, Lamashal, there's a din He's supposed to have a suda ra'uy on yondiv. He's supposed to have a nice b'kovetik suda on yondiv. So the guy decides he's not going to have a nice b'kovetik suda. I think I told the guys in the shiur this year about the pizza and Shavuot story. So a guy once called me right before Shavuot. He said a whole bunch of guys were single guys were together and they were going to have a Shavuot suda together. So they wanted to know, can they order pizza from before yondiv and they'll stick it into the oven on yondiv. That's going to be their lunch. It's the chmilchek, so it's even better. So I said to him that I think this, I didn't say b'zeh aloshon, but what I should have said to him was that according to the Rambam, I think that's exactly what the Gemara means. They call mevazas amoyados, kilo ovid v'rezar. The Rambam says that a guy doesn't have a yomtiv tikka meal on yomtiv. That's called mevazas amoyados. Means, would you go to a chasen like that? When was the last time you went to a chasen that they served pizza? So pizza is not a b'kovid tikka food. Pizza is something you eat on the run on a Thursday night or Friday afternoon. That's pizza. Pizza is Motzei Shabbos. Pizza is not a Shabbos stick of food. Pizza is not a Yontif stick of food. So that's what the Rambam means when he says, Kol Mevazah Semoyados. But let's say, Lamoshal, a person dresses inappropriately on Yontif. So that's also considered to be a Kol Mevazah Semoyados, Kilo Aviv Erizara. It's not being a similar locha, but it's a din of Mevazah Semoyados. Right. The story once also, there was a fellow called me several years ago, oh, Langa Megillah, had to go somewhere from one community to another community on Shabbos. I don't know what the Shasachak was exactly. He wanted to go on the Long Island Railroad. So on Shabbos, he's going to complain. He had the whole thing planned out before. He had the ticket planned in advance. Ahead in hand, there's no tchum again. The whole longest Megillah. So, and he already like preempted the question by saying, Rabbi, no one's going to be chayshid me that I'm Jewish. I'm going to go and wear my jeans and my t-shirt and a baseball cap. No one's going to even know what's going on. So I'm listening to this whole story. So I said to him, Lefianias daiti, the most chomer thing, the biggest isser of what you're saying you're going to do is to wear your jeans, your t-shirt, and your baseball cap. Because I think everything else is a chashashav, a derabban, a rabdu, the chol, a marasayin, and a herb. But to wear your jeans, t-shirt, and a baseball cap, I think is an isser derais on Shabbos, because that's a bittul of mikra kodesh. Because Chazal quote, Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, the mikra kodesh means kabdeh b'ksus nikia, that you have to have special Shabbos ticket clothes. So if a person dresses mamash in his weekday clothes on Shabbos, mamash trying to make it into a weekday. So that's imlecha bittul of mikra kodesh, gold on mizah. So, of course, the ramifications of that statement can go very far, but we'll leave them out for now. But suffice it to say that that's a din d'araisa, that's a bittul mitzvah d'araisa for a person to dress in non-Shabbos to get clothes. So, that's the same as the Rambam is saying here also, called Mavazah, some others, Kilevi, Verizara. That means the guy didn't do any malacha. He didn't do any aveira, quote unquote. He didn't do malacha on Yom, he didn't do malacha on Cholamoid. He was Mavazah, some others. So that's what the Gemara says, called Mavazah, some others, Kilevi, Verizara. So, Kol Ponim, we have two different pshatim in that Gemara, Maseches Pesachim. If you hold that malachas Cholamoid is deraisa, it means one thing. That's the Rosh Pam's version, it means malacha and Cholamoid. If you look at the time of the Rambam, that malachas Cholamoid is on a derabonon, then it means something totally different, that it refers to Ksustakiya, Sud. Things of that nature. So let's take for a moment this shita that Malachas Chalamot is deraisa. It's not just the shita of Rishbam. There are many, many Rishonim all the way. We may even pass in that way. La'alochas, we'll see as we go on. That Malachas Chalamot is deraisa. But the Chayra, we have to go back to the ABCs and the Kuda already that we raised on Friday. It's a basic fundamental problem. And at the end of the day, probably more than all the other rites of Rabbeinu Tam, this is really what prompted Rabbeinu Tam to conclude that Malachas Chalamot is the Rabbanon, is that the Klolim and Huchas Chalamot are wild. They seem to defy the all logic. Some things are mutter, some things are asa, davrav, it's mutter, but tircha, you say, davrav, it is asa, and tircha, ram, it's mutter, tircha, it's asa, this way, mechav alachto, it's asa, this one's asa, mutter, it's going to take us a whole summer to try to get the details of what's mutter. Where do you ever find such a thing in Huchas Malacha? On Yantav we know. On Shabbos we know. Shabbos, Lamates, Malachas, Arasa. Finish. 39 Malachas. Ain't going to work on Saturday. That's it. All 39 Arasa. Comes to Yantav, it's basically the same. With one or two little quirks. You're allowed to cook and carry, you know, big spritz. But basically it's the same. But Chol HaMoed, it's Mamash HaHefkevelt. And it didn't change. With every little minute Nekuda, all of a sudden becomes awesome, becomes mutter, and no one can figure out what the Klolim are. So how can you have such an idea? What kind of Malacha D'Araisa? Where do you find such an idea of Malacha D'Araisa that changes with such fine little minute details? So there seems to be a major, major Machlekes in the Rishonim. Assuming that Malachas Chol HaMoed is D'Araisa, what exactly are the guidelines on a level of D'Araisa? So the Ramban in the end of the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah, that's sugi about the being maskir, the sadr to the kusi. So the Ramban has a tremendous chiddush. The Ramban writes that it would appear to him that even al atzad that malachas chalamoid is deraisa, not all lametes malachas are also, by far not. Says the Ramban, he thinks there's a difference between malachas karka in contrast to other kinds of malachas. What are malachas karka? Malachas karka means you got the farmer out there in his overalls, he's got his tractor out there, he's being chayrish his field, that's malachas karka. Or he's being zerei, he's planting away, or he's winnowing, he's threshing, he's grinding, he's out there in the fields working, sweating, schwitzing up a storm. That's malachas karka. That's one type of malacha. Then you have other kinds of malachas. You know what other kinds of malachas? Guy sitting with a pen, sitting writing a shopping list or something. That's not malachas karka. So in the realm of Hilchas Shabbos, so we would never say there's any distinction. Everybody realizes that on the level of deraisa in Hilchas Shabbos, there is absolutely no distinction whether a guy is out there plowing a field, or whether a guy is sitting by a desk and writing Beis Oseos, that the exact same is a deraisa. B'li shum chiluk whatsoever. He's chayav skila and he's chayav skila. But says the Ramban, that's by lametes malachas of Shabbos. By chalamoid, it's nira l'loinar that the only time that malacha is really awesome in the rice and chalamoid is only a very specific type of malacha. Malacha shel tircha, shel karka, shel chol, those kinds of malachas are asar. And all the other kinds of malachas are only mid the Rabbanan at worst. Says the Ramban, if so, then we can begin to get a little bit of an understanding as to why we find so many different kulas and so many different chilukim within Hilchos Chalamoid. Says the Ramban, because 99% of the time, the malachas that we're talking about in Chalamoid are only mid the Rabbanan. There aren't that many malachas karka out there. A few, a handful. You're basically not allowed to apply, basically not allowed to plant in Chalamoid. Basically, the shailas that come up in Hilchos Chalamoid are rubid the Rabbanan. So says the Ramban, the ikaron malachas chalamoid is deraisa. There's a concept of malachas chalamoid deraisa. The Ramban and the Rashban may be right that kolam avaza some others kilavi v'rezara is referring to malachas chalamoid. It's true. There's an issur deraisa malachas chalamoid. But that is it, their eyes is limited to five malachas, a handful of malachas, that's it. Everything else, any malacha that's not taking place mamish with your sweat and your overalls on and your animals and your plows, everything else that we call quote-unquote malach and Shabbos, those are only mid Rabbanan. So says the Ramban, now we understand, now everything's a cinch. So whenever you're dealing with your ISIS, you have to have really, really hardcore categories. You have to understand. You can't just start make up b'b'mayit says davarav. It's mutter. This is also. This is mutter. You can't make these arbitrary chalukim. When you're in the realm of the rabbanim, the rabbanim can do whatever they want. The chum can make up whatever they want. Hey, mam ve mamru, whatever they wanted to be matter. They were matter. They felt if it's a davarav, it's a makom hefsid. They'll be matter. If it's not a makom hefsid, they won't be matter. Tzorchi rabbim is important. They'll be matter. Tzorchi yachid won't be matter. It's not so important. So once you're in the realm of the Rabbanan, so then the Chum can do whatever they want. So says the Ramban, we can literally have our cake and eat it. That, to say that all the Malachas Chalamoid is the Rabbanan, that's not right. That's not fair. That's just overdoing a little bit. Avadad is a Malachas Chalamoid deraisa. Avadad is a concept of Malachas Chalamoid deraisa. Avadad mevazas and avadas kilavi v'rezar, the Rashbam is right. Avadad takalo yaskes adeh lukusi v'nei she'ovi b'mamoy, the kusi is going to do it as a deraisa, like the Ritva says in my Kondaveis. Avadad and avadad, Malachas Chalamoid bikaron is deraisa. But Lamaisa, the reason why we have so many chilukim, the reason why we have so many kulas and so many details and fetches and so many different pratim which don't seem to fit any deraisa categories, is because 99.99% of the shahs that ever come up are only with the Rabbanan anyway, because most of the things are not malachas karka. So that's one approach of the Ramban. So the Ramban's basic mahalach is that even a malachas chalamoid is deraisa, it can't mean lametes malachas. It can't even mean the model of Yom Tif. It's much, much different. It's a different model of malachas than Shabbos, it's a different model of Malacha than Yom Tov, limited to Malacha's character. Everything else is only Mitzvah Rabbanan. So we'll have to see tomorrow how other Rishonim go be'ikvas and Ramban also, that there's got to be some kind of a chiluk. You can't take the approach of Malacha's Chalamoid is deraisa, and therefore everything's awesome in deraisa, because you're going to be stuck with what's the difference between Dover Ovid, not Dover Ovid, Tzachiyach, Tzachiram, all the chilukim aren't going to make any sense. There are other Rishonim are going to go in that same model of the Ramban, that there's got to be some basic split on a level of deraisa within Malachas, whereas the Ramban picked the split between Malachas Karka versus other Malachas. Other Rishonim can have a little bit of a different nuance. I mean, hopefully tomorrow we'll pick up on those Rishonim.